Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
I'm doing great, too.
I didn't ask you.
What? Kind of figured it was an implied thing.
I
guess you're usually
Daniel.
Supposed to wait for the return question there.
Yeah, but I would have asked if I really wanted to know.
I guess that's true. Well, if anyone's wondering out there, I'm doing great. Having a nice time. The fall weather is upon us.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Yes.
Crisp, refreshing. Feels good on your skin.
You are a big fan of walking around frequently.
Yes, aimlessly walking is a big part of my day every day.
It's kind of a year-round thing for you. Do you do it much in the winter?
Yeah.
You do?
The only thing that stops me is if there was recently snow and the sidewalks weren't paved.
Okay.
Not paved, shoveled, I guess.
Right, and slippery. It's dangerous.
Yeah, I don't want to have to be conscious of every step I take while I'm walking.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
This is prime walking time for me.
Perfection. But unfortunately, it's only going to be this nice for a short period of time before it simply becomes too cold.
It's true. But hey, you know, there's other ways to work out and get out of the apartment, even during these pandemic times.
Indeed.
Yes. Hey,
you can fly around in your broom.
Oh, that's good. Here we go. Kiki's Delivery Service. We're back on the anime.
That's right.
It's very much anime. It is by definition. This is
anime. Yeah, it's anime, but it's
a different
not,
kind of anime.
It's not like people shouting and a moving background while someone shouts across a classroom and laser lights fire out of their pelvic hole.
Yeah, pelvic hole. Let's not get all medical here.
I guess it's his naval laser beam, that guy.
Oh, is that the guy from My Hero?
Yeah.
With the, what was that guy? I forget that guy's name, but that guy's hilarious. Which, by the way, My Hero, it's a favorite of this podcast, both in terms of we like watching and talking about it. Also, it seems like, you know, crunching the numbers here, people like listening to it. Mm-hmm. So, I'll say that we saw that My Hero Academia is dubbed on Hulu now, all of season 4. And so we are going to be doing that in the near future. So that is coming down the pipeline. But first, we can say here that the next month after this episode here, speaking of the weather, yes, we're the theme in progress. That's right. Panning the Scream will be starting next week. We will be covering a month's worth of horror films. We've been talking about options and stuff, so it's still very much in the air what we're going to be watching. But we know that throughout the month of October, those 4 Sundays, we will be covering films of the spooky variety.
In honor of All Hallows Eve.
Yes, Old Halloween, one of my favorite holidays.
Yes.
Just feels good outside to get candy, get to dress up.
It's spooky.
It's going to be a weird one. It is spooky. It's going to be a weird one this year.
Why?
Well, trick-or-treating and stuff. Is that going to be a thing?
I feel like the whole time we were in New York City, whenever it was Halloween, you couldn't really tell.
Well, yeah, New York City or when you're living in an apartment complex and things like that, you know, you don't really get the trick-or-treaters and stuff. But I wonder around the suburbs, you know, is it going to be a thing where are we going to see a bunch of custom-made Halloween masks that are built for COVID, you know, where it's hey, this covers.
Won't any mask do?
If it covers the nose and mouth, you know, I think most do that. But I wonder if it's going to be strongly discouraged by cities for trick-or-treating this year. I guess it remains to be seen, but it's coming up. But we don't make those decisions. We just decide what we watch, and we're going to watch spooky stuff.
Imagine if we did make those decisions. For some reason, we were the ones that had to make those choices. Should Stamford, Connecticut have Halloween this year?
And then no matter what, people are going to be super duper mad.
Yeah,
I don't want to make. I don't ever want to make decisions that actually have consequence. I just want to do fun stuff all the time.
It's surprising how sometimes you don't expect a choice to have consequence, and then you find out later that it has a consequence, and it's surprising.
It's a real sliding doors situation.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a segue. Sliding Doors is a film. So is Kiki's Delivery Service.
That's right.
Yes, Kiki's Delivery Service, also following up last week's Showgirls episode, very tonally different films, although Kiki sounds like the name of a showgirl.
Yeah, each film naturally flows into one another. It's a perfect double feature.
Yeah, these are standalone podcasts. They do not flow into one another in terms of theme or tone.
Especially watching Showgirls first.
Yes.
And then Kiki's Delivery Service.
Very, very different things. Although, man, Showgirls, what a movie.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Go back, for all you folks coming here for the anime, go back last week and watch Showgirls. Is Showgirls anime?
I'm from a lot of places.
What is it?
I'm from a lot of places.
I forgot. You've already got favorite lines and stuff. Is that when she shakes the nuggets or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. All right, Kiki. You know, right. Thank you for that great segue 20 minutes ago that I just totally took in a lot of ways that well, was not the natural segue.
Well, yeah, but it segued into something else.
It did. So it's still a segue.
It's
so it still
like
counts.
If you miss your exit on the highway and then you get on another exit, but you're going to go end up where you want to be.
And you found a nice fun thing while you exited the thing you didn't intend on exiting on.
One would hope.
Like a big ball of corn. Corn doesn't come. Well, corn balls, that's a thing. I've never seen a corn ball, but I've heard that term. What is a corn ball?
I, for the record, in all my years of driving in New Jersey on the many highways that intertwine across that state, that fine state, I've never once run into a corn ball.
Well, here's the thing. I think I'm mixing up corn maize and like a giant ball of yarn, which you probably haven't seen those. Wait, do you know that's a thing?
Like corn maize. Okay, no, that's like the hard corn.
And then like, oh, the world's hard largest corn. Ball of hard corn.
Someone should make a mascot that's like a stalk of an ear of corn, and it has a little t-shirt on that says hard corn, and it's maize, so it is hard, literally hard corn.
Yeah, it's hard corn.
I'm hard corn.
Yes, then the adult film is the hard corn porn variety.
Well, yeah, I suppose you can take that route if you wish, Dan. I was trying to keep it a little in keeping with the themes of Kiki's Delivery Service.
Oh,
I didn't want to start talking or alluding to hardcore pornography.
I was saying hard corn. Look, you're the one taking it in a weird place. I'm just talking about corn. Corn porn. Why are you being weird?
Corn porn.
That's probably a thing, right?
Oh, it's got to be.
I'm not going to Google corn porn here on
no,
my computer.
Don't. No,
but no, the giant ball of like wax or the giant ball of yarn, you know, like that's like a staple like road trip. Like, oh, at, you know, 40 miles from here, turn right to see the world's largest thing. There's a whole gift shop about yarn.
Oh, well, I've never seen a big ball of yarn. Have you ever played Sam and Max Hit the Road?
No, I'm familiar with it, though. I know there's like 19 entries for it on Steam.
Well, the first one, the only one I played, has like a big something in it like that. I forget what it was. But it has an extra large attraction.
I think it must be a Midwest thing, because you're from Jersey, and Jersey is dense. It's got stuff going on mm-hmm. everywhere, even though it's got a ton of highways. Highways in the Midwest are just like barren. Like it is just fields.
So if there is an attraction alongside a highway in Kansas, chances are everyone knows about it.
Right, and they will lean on it by being like, hey, we're going to put something wacky on the side of the road here, like a weird museum of the giant ball of yarn or something, because like that's a novelty. And if you're driving through a boring ass, like, you know, Kansas or Nebraska highway, it's like, ah, that's more interesting than anything we've been seeing.
Yeah, that it is interesting and odd.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's why people do it.
Give me a good segue to Kiki's Delivery Service. It's a yarn of a tale.
It is. It weaves a beautiful tapestry of coming of age and stuff and friendship and witchcraft and baked goods.
Folks, this is our first podcast. You know, we're kind of working out the kinks here.
Yeah, give us some time. Give us another 200 episodes or whatever.
Yeah, we're just starting out here. Yes. Like 200 for you and like 8 billion for me. I still can't segue naturally. Kiki's Delivery Service is a film by Studio Ghibli.
Mm.
It came out in 1989.
That's right.
Yes. I was alive. You were not.
No. I would be not alive for another maybe 2 years.
I was alive for a handful of years before this. Mm. I did not see this as I was 5 years old and did not live in Japan. Kansas is very far from Japan. This did come out in the States, though. I did not realize there was a deal with Disney and Studio Ghibli.
Mm-hmm.
Until I saw the logo at the beginning, and I was like, what the hell? Like, I didn't know. Is this one of those things where it's like Studio Ghibli is like the, you know, they've got a partnership or something? Like the way Disney and Pixar did, mm-hmm. you know? And I looked at the wiki, and it sounds like it was like a 15-year partnership or something like that,
yeah.
where they would release Studio Ghibli films in the States.
Yeah, apparently this was the first of that partnership.
Gotcha. Okay. And I gotta say, we've talked plenty about like Disney and Marvel and that type of stuff on and how it's not really kind of our thing. We're not the like obsessive Disney types or anything.
Right.
But, you know, I liked Aladdin and Lion King and stuff when I was a kid. But ultimately, just I don't have that reverence mm-hmm. for Disney. I think just in the few we've seen, I think I have a reverence for Studio Ghibli. And I think I get the Studio Ghibli thing a lot more than I get the Disney thing.
And isn't it amazing when you consider like we're both adults when we started watching the Studio Ghibli stuff? It's like, you know, it's amazing how well it transcends. We don't, it's not like we're enjoying it and, oh, our kid, which doesn't exist, also enjoys it. So it's great. It's win-win. It's like, no, I would watch this regardless.
Yeah, it's super not one of those things where it's like, oh, Shrek's great because it's got sex jokes that are hidden for the adults, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, for the kids, they don't know. And, you know, they just like the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to transcend the age we are and when we saw it and, you know, cultural, you know, boundaries and stuff like that. You know, this being a Japanese movie, it, man, it's very good. And for context, we have seen Spirited Away and Princess Mononoke before.
Right.
And this is before we had the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So just a short version here. I think we loved both of those, didn't
Absolutely.
We? Absolutely. And I realized as I was loving Kiki's, I don't remember a ton of Princess Mononoke.
Yeah, I remember a few like key scenes about it, like the, I guess the forest guardian thing. I forgot the name of it.
There's like a big wolf or something.
It's like a
or...
deer wolf
oh,
thing.
Oh, yeah. Crazy antlers.
Yeah. It was. I remember that being really cool. And that scene where it gets shot is really sad.
Oh, I don't see. I don't know what the, I don't know if I was like drinking that night or something, but I don't remember. I would watch that again. But also, I just want to watch more Studio Ghibli, which,
Definitely.
By the way, they are on HBO Max, which
right.
I know we're constantly putting over HBO Max on here, but goddamn,
they have what a great selection. Yeah.
And it's got all those Studio Ghibli movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I want to do more of those in the future for sure. I know my neighbor Totoro is up there. Actually, I'd love to hear in the Discord or on Twitter if people have suggestions for what's next, because if we've seen Spirited Away, Princess Mononoke, and Kiki's Delivery Service, where to go next? We're leaning Totoro,
mm-hmm.
But we'll see. So let's talk about Kiki.
Yeah, I got to say, like, you know, I talk a lot about living the Hugh lifestyle. This movie is a perfect encapsulation of that. I just want so badly to wake up in the Kiki's Delivery Service universe. Imagine just like being her, being like 13, about to go out on your big adventure, you know, on your way to some city that you don't know what it's going to be yet, and all this promise awaiting you, and like you sleep in a train and it ends up being a bunch of cows there, and like all the little adventures.
And you're in a bakery.
Yeah, you find your first big city, you end up in a bakery, and the woman that owns it is, like, super cool, and then she lets you live there. It's just the fucking hugest thing imaginable.
It is, yeah, the village, the city she goes to, which, so she's, like, a 13-year-old witch, and she lives in, like, a tiny little village. And
yeah.
I guess it's, like, tradition for them to leave at age
13.
Right,
I love when it, like, alludes to, like, the witch rules, like how every witch has a black hat, you gotta wear a black dress. You have to, you know, at the age of 13, leave home and, like, find whatever your area of focus is going to be.
Is that a thing with, like, witch lore in general? Because outside of, like, a hat and a broomstick, I don't know what the whole deal with witches is. They have a stew that they make with frog's eyes or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about it either. Just what, like, Halloween decorations have taught me.
Yeah. This is, like, a lighthearted take on it, it seems.
It's very lighthearted. It feels, I mean, obviously there are supernatural elements. I mean, she can fly. And the mother and her mother is like a alchemist, kind of brewing potions and stuff. But it's still very much grounded. Like it's not like the whole world is covered in witches or people that have different powers. I mean, even the cat, her cat Gigi, only
Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman.
Yes.
Only she can hear it, so it's not like it's this super magical world where animals are talking and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really outside of the flying and talking to the cat, like. It's just, it's really the story of a girl that starts a delivery service. That's kind of it.
And that's what makes it so much easier to relate to as like a coming of age story, because it's so grounded in reality.
But with that fun element of, like, you know, adding that kind of fairy tale element, like a sprinkling mm-hmm. of fairy tale over this like kind of straightforward story of her starting a delivery service. And there's no massive like super villain. There's no world ending threat.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Like in keeping with it being so huge, like there's no looming threat or like the fate of the world isn't hanging the balance. She isn't overcoming this huge like external threat throughout the whole movie. It's pretty much the adversity that she deals with mm-hmm. comes from within. It's like her growing and finding herself and trying to figure out what she wants to do. Her confidence, trying to like fit in with people, always feeling like an outsider. You know, eventually she loses her witch abilities, I mean, I guess you can consider that kind of an external adversity that she has to overcome, but I feel like that kind of emerges when she's at her lowest point in terms of her confidence and everything. So perhaps that was bought on, you know, and not some result of breaking a witch rule or something like that.
It more seems to me like it's just representative. Like that time when she loses her powers mm-hmm. is representative of, like, she's lost confidence in herself. Mm-hmm. She's at a low point and she needs to kind of find herself again. Like, I feel like that's kind of a universal thing. It's not just like, oh, he lost his, you know, Cyclops lost his laser eyes. You know, it's more nuanced than that, I think.
Right.
And you mentioned earlier the town, Corico, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, is the town she goes to. And I loved it. It's got the vibe of like a Zelda village, mm-hmm. like a Clock Town in Majora's Mask or a Kakariko Village or something. The music mm-hmm. is excellent.
Yes.
In this. We made several mentions of, for those who haven't seen online, our dog Gizmo is just the, like, the he moves through life with a certain lightness.
Yeah, he just kind of bounces around. He's a bouncy
always
boy.
Happy. He's always just running up and giving everyone kisses. He loves everyone. He is just the happiest, sweetest dog. And we just kept thinking that, like, this is probably the music that plays in Gizmo's yeah. head as he goes through
it's
his
the
day.
Perfect accompaniment for Gizmo. It's like his theme music.
Yeah, yeah. And it fits the vibe of the city really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one's really much of a dick or anything.
Like cobblestone streets and, like, you know, obviously the bakery and, like, this little attic bedroom that she's staying in. And, like, you know, she there's, like, cute little boutique fashion stores that she looks and goes window shopping. And, like, all these little cute details that it just seems like such a, you know, a bigger city than she's used to, but also really welcoming and filled with yeah. character and, like, seaside. She wanted to live near a sea, like the sea. So it's really cool. Like, there's elements of a lot of different cities. It was interesting to read about the inspirations that they took to develop that town.
Well, because it did seem like at times there was inspiration just watching it. I didn't read anything about this, but, like, it seemed like there's a little bit of San Francisco there. It seemed like there's a little bit of, like, maybe like Norway or Denmark or what Icelandic. Is that what they call those up there?
Scandinavian.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and then there's some that seem like Japan. Like, it just seemed like it was taking kind of a hodgepodge of real world-ish mm. areas and making this fictional city.
Yeah, definitely. I felt like it was very London-ish while watching it.
Yeah.
And a lot of scenes looked like, reminded me of San Francisco. Like, when you see kind of like all those houses on the hills and you could just see all the roofs and then the sea in the distance.
Yeah, and then they'll go to a thing where it's like one of those streetcars that looks a lot mm. like in New Orleans.
Yes.
You know? Like that
totally.
One, I can't remember Magazine if that was Magazine Street. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know. It seemed intentional that I was
Charles?
Constantly.
Is that another?
St. Charles Avenue is definitely an area in New Orleans. But yeah, the Magazine District is mm. where that trolley, the streetcar goes.
New Orleans
is the best. Oh my God. So yeah, I was constantly finding myself reminded of like all these cities and nice parts of them. The bakery we mentioned. So Osano mm-hmm. is the, she's very pregnant. And so she owns this bakery, lets Kiki, just basically for like doing odd jobs and cleaning mm-hmm. up and stuff like that, lets her live there. And that's where the crux of the movie starts, where she starts delivering stuff. Because the first thing is the pacifier, right?
Yeah, the Osano is like calling to a customer that she left her pacifier, but she was just too far away to hear. So then Kiki just jumps on her broom and delivers the broomstick, or delivers the pacifier to the lady. So that's kind of the beginning of the delivery service.
Yeah, and it kind of turns into like Kiki doing fetch quests in an open world game, where it's like, you got this thing, deliver this, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It was really funny when she gets that really heavy package and it's like, how is she going to fly? Or like, you know, and she has trouble navigating, or she has like trouble controlling her broomstick with it. And then obviously when she goes to, it's like a big part of the movie, when she goes to the older lady's house and ends up helping her bake that pot pie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then her ungrateful granddaughter just being such a bitch about it.
She was having that. Was she having a party?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Is that the same girl that she met at the beginning when she was flying to the city and she was being really standoffish?
No,
and
that was a different witch.
Got it. Oh, yeah, right, because this girl isn't a witch. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, she's one of Tombo's friends. But I also like about Osano, I mean, she's just awesome and obviously really sweet and welcoming, but she's very pregnant, like you said, but it's not like a defining characteristic of her. I feel like whenever a woman is pregnant in a movie or a TV show, it's always like what the woman's all about. You know what I mean? It's barely addressed in this.
Right, it's just that's she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. She needs some help. Like, yeah. There's a certain, like, just kind of nuance and subtlety to this movie that I just really loved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the animations, I was just constantly, like, it just, you know, any screen of this movie would look beautiful. But in motion, I don't know how to describe it. Mm-hmm. I'm no illustration expert or anything like that. But there's just something so visually appealing about this movie,
right.
I thought, and, like, comfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
It's, like, I mean, this Animation Studio is just obviously makes the greatest animated movies of all time.
World class, yeah.
Yeah, but it's extremely fluid animation. Like, the backdrops are so beautifully rendered, like the paintings and everything.
Yeah.
The things that aren't getting animated are, like, just extraordinary looking, and there's just so much of it, too.
Well, wasn't one of the paintings, actually, like, because there's one of the fetch quests is the Black Cat doll. Basically, there's a like side mission, side story.
Why are you using this analogy?
I don't know. There's like a side story here where the cat, mm-hmm. Gigi, has to like pose as this doll because she was supposed to deliver a doll. It gets lost.
Right.
There's these like asshole crows.
Total assholes.
Just total jerks. It falls in the forest, and there's this painter lady that lives in the forest. And did you see in the credits? I don't know if you saw anything about this when you were reading about the movie, but there's that really weird painting that's just kind of like it's at odds with the art style of the rest of the movie.
Do you mean the Ursula's painting?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's later in the movie when she goes and hangs out with Ursula after she visits her in the city.
That's right, but that's the same lady where, mm-hmm. like, she had the black cat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that painting, I thought I saw something in the credits how, like, that was put together by, like, a junior high class or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Can you imagine, like, if you were just some kid in that junior high class and, you know, your teacher's like, oh, we got this fun project, mm-hmm. there's going to be a movie and we're going to work on this. And then, like, it becomes this, like, you know, just absolute classic animated film that's,
yeah.
like, beloved globally. And it's like, oh, yeah, we painted that when I was 12.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
And I think it also shows, like, how context and art is so important. Like, you could see an amazing painting being sold by, like, a street vendor, and, like, people will walk by and not look twice, but then that same painting goes in a museum and everyone stops with their mouth agape. It's like, in a classroom, this painting would probably just be like, oh, yeah, that's a cute little painting. But, you know, it's elevated so much just being in a Studio Ghibli film. It shows
yeah.
how arbitrary that whole thing is. But it does look really extraordinary.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that little side thing, too. Like, that character was neat, that painter.
Yeah, she was awesome. I love when she was, like, sketching Kiki and all her, you know, she's obviously enormously talented. I think anyone that dabbles in fine art, like, that's the dream, just living in a really cute cabin in the middle of the forest.
Painting wildlife.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So yeah, you mentioned briefly Tombo earlier. Mm. So he's one of the characters that kind of pops up. A lot of characters just kind of pop up throughout the course of this movie. And, you know, there's not like Kiki's definitely the main character, and there's others that come and go. But yeah, there's not a whole lot of, like, these are the main cast, you mm-hmm. know? So Tombo is, I don't know if I want to call him a love interest. It seems like they're kind of just, like, you know, having this teenage crush
yeah,
type thing.
He seems, like, immediately infatuated with her. And she seems, you know, seems to return the favor in, like, the stubborn little girl way. But yeah, it's a cute relationship that they have.
Yeah, and he's, like, really into flying machines, mm-hmm. and he basically, like, modifies his bike to have a big propeller because it's eventually going to become a thing that flies, and, you know, there's some fun stuff there.
Which is probably why he thinks Kiki's so cool, because she can just fly around.
Right, right. Yeah. And then, like, the whole crisis of confidence comes about in just such a subtle way. It's like, Tombo's friends show up at one point, and they have a car, and he basically says, he gets in the car and he's like, yeah, you know, come with us.
Mm-hmm.
And she just kind of sees all these other kids that she doesn't know, and she just gets kind of intimidated and doesn't want to go. The way she says something is really funny there. I remember it made me laugh. She just like totally is like, nope, no thanks, bye.
I don't want to.
Yeah, something like that. But it's not like these sneering assholes, mm-hmm. you know, pulled up and like threw a rock at her head or anything. It was a much more relatable feeling mm-hmm. of like social anxiety of just like, oh, I like him and I feel comfortable with him, but I don't know these people and I don't know if I'm as cool as these people.
Yeah, I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah, it was such a subtle little thing there, but I was just like that was so much more effective to me than just like if a bunch of dicks pulled up mm-hmm. and like, you know, broke Tombo's bike or something.
Right, yeah. It's also similarly subtle is like earlier on when she first wakes up in the bakery attic bedroom, and she has to go to use the bathroom, and then she sees Osano's husband out there, and she gets really nervous,
yeah.
Like for no real reason. I mean, like obviously he's not a threat to her, like he's not going to make fun of her for using the bathroom, but she just gets so nervous.
Yeah,
it's that nervousness for no reason that's just totally misplaced, and she just like runs back breathlessly to her bedroom and slams the door. It's like I can totally relate to that. Like there are so many times when I was a kid, like just being embarrassed to like eat in front of people for no reason. I mean, just eat your fucking food. No one's looking at you.
It's just
stupid reasons to be embarrassed.
Yeah, just dumb things like you live in the dorms in college and you wake up, but like you just don't want to have to socialize with your, you know, roommate mm-hmm. or something. So you're waiting. You just kind of pretend to be asleep until
totally.
They leave. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, now I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Yeah, just very, very subtle stuff in this that was so, so well done, mm-hmm. I thought. And the flying machine thing kind of plays into the end. Like if there is one big, I wouldn't call it an action scene, but a climax, I guess, is there is a dirigible, which they say dirigible several times.
Isn't it dirigible?
Maybe it's dirigible. Either way, it's a
dirigible.
It's a Rick dirigible. Yes. It's fun to say. Yeah, it's like a big old Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
And we were confused by the nature of blimps.
Yeah,
when
they
we were
seem
watching
to
it.
Take up a lot of space and not do much. I mean, like it's not like you could put stuff in that giant balloon part.
No, it's all just gas that makes it fly, I guess. And then I don't know if you want to land, if you got to like, it's like when you got to let out air out of a tire. I don't know how you'd land that thing.
Way more expensive than just flying a plane.
Yeah.
Way more, like way slower and way more dangerous.
Yeah, constantly exploding. I think every blimp has landed by exploding.
That's just how they land.
I think so, yes.
And every time it does that, someone has to scream, "Oh, the humanity!"
Of course, yes, yeah. No, well, they actually just put it into the blimps now, so it just kind of plays that as it goes down.
It slowly crashes. It's just like an auto-tuned remix version of it.
Is it? Are we gonna get in trouble for making Hindenburg jokes? Was that like 800 years ago?
Oh, that's true. So, yeah. Well, you know, it was a tragedy, but the idea of blimps is funny.
Yeah, we're joking about blimps, not tragedies.
Yeah.
So yeah, at the end, it is this blimp. What's the deal? It's like goes vertically, and I can't remember why there's a giant rope. Is it about to?
Well, what happens is, and the movie establishes this early on, like that city, I guess because of its proximity to the ocean, is prone to just really strong, abrupt like winds out of nowhere. And the blimp got like caught up in one of those.
That's right.
And was gonna like fly away, but they were able to anchor it, so it was like flying vertically with its nose pointed down, and gets caught or hits this like clock tower. And but before it flies away, Tombo and a bunch of other people try to stop it by holding onto the rope, but it flies away, and Tombo, being a little kid, is just like attached to the rope and, you know, doesn't obviously want to let go, and then it crashes into the clock tower, and he's kind of like left hanging. And yeah, that's a really fun scene.
Yeah, and that's the moment that's the catalyst for Kiki just kind of dropping the insecurities and just, like, acting. You know, mm-hmm. She just has to, like, you know, she gets out of her head for a second and she just does what comes naturally and flies and goes up and saves him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the least relatable part of the movie, because how many people are able to overcome that insecurity with the most heroic thing possible, right?
Yeah, that are presented with, like, extreme circumstances.
Yeah, and an audience to watch you be a hero.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good ending for Kiki.
Definitely.
Good for her and Tombo.
Yeah, not faulting the movie at all.
Yeah, and that's how it ends. You know, fun little music montage at the end that reminded me of, like, when you beat a Zelda game and it's like, let's check in on everyone from the town that you made their lives better, and they wave at the camera or whatever, you know? I like
that. This movie was like a big hug. It just was so, and not only just engrossing to watch because the story was so well told, but it just felt good to watch. It's so rare that that you could sit through a movie and it just the whole way makes you feel warm and happy and just, it just makes you love and appreciate life more.
I was smiling the entire time. It made me laugh at times. I was just in a great mood the entire time mm-hmm. watching this. And it made me think, like, you know, when you were, you know, a 12, 13-year-old girl, mm-hmm. if you had seen this back then, do you think you would have loved this movie?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept thinking that. I was like, I bet Bonk would have been all about this even back then. I know you are now, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can't tell, really, really high on this movie.
Loved it.
One of my favorite things we've watched. I want to go back, like, because I remember loving Spirited Away. I mm-hmm. remember being so surreal and original and just, yeah, it was very unique. And I need to watch Mononoke again, because I remember liking it. I just don't remember much of it. Whereas
right.
I remember more of Spirited Away.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, I don't even know how to rank them because I think I like them all a ton and want to keep watching these.
Yeah, it makes me really excited to explore the rest of the Ghibli films.
Yeah, yeah, really great stuff. I looked up Miyazaki, is that his name, to see if he is alive. He is alive.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, out there doing his thing. I don't know if he's still making movies, but he the Wikipedia said he's alive and he was smiling in his photo, so good for him. but yeah, check it out, HBO Max. Can't say enough about this, and also every Studio Ghibli thing we've seen. So yeah, dive in on that if you've got HBO Max. Just great, great stuff.
If you think that it's below you because you're an adult, that's all the more reason to watch it.
Yeah, yeah. I just made me happy the whole time. Glad we watched it.
Mm.
Yep. And speaking of making us happy.
I was just going to say that.
You were going to do the Patreon segue?
I wasn't going to do the Patreon spiel. That's your thing.
Oh, but you were going to set me up with that was the T-ball you were going to set up. Okay, well, let's try it again. Yeah, okay, now, what were you about to say, Bonk? I interrupted you.
Speaking of things that make us happy.
Ah, yes, Bonk. Things that make us happy. You, the patrons, the fans, anybody who listens to Patreon
Extreme. Folks at home.
Make us happy. But a special shout out to the folks at home who subscribe on the Patreon. It is patreon.com/paintingthestream.
Thank you.
And we keep it very, very simple here. It's a $5 tier. It gets you a few things here.
Five schmackers.
Yep. It gets you early episodes. It gets you an episode on Saturday instead of Sunday. It gets you ad-free episodes each and every week. It gets you access to the Rikert's Market Discord. We're in there with a bunch of people, shared with the Twitch channel. So it's very active, robust, lots of categories and stuff to talk about there. Suggestions. We got Painting the Stream categories where you can hop in and suggest things, talk about this week's episode, things like that. And also, most importantly, you, the patron, the new patron, are going to get a custom made just for you, custom written from the bottom of her heart, Bonku.
Mm.
Isn't that right, Bonk?
That's right. I'm inspired by the very essence of your name.
Yes.
And this week, Daniel, we are honoring our friend Tobias.
Hello, Tobias.
Tobias, here is your Bonku.
There are dozens of them.
We all considered Tobias to be a man, though he was machine.
Whoa, what happened to him?
You don't want to know.
I hope you never answer any of my questions about the Bonkus. I preserve the mystery. Got to protect the business, the Bonku business.
Leave something to the imagination.
Yes. All right, Tobias, well, thank you so much. And Bonk, thank you for that lovely
You're
Bonku.
You're very welcome.
And before we go, we've got the Hugh game here. We talked about Hugh in this episode here. It is the concept, the Swedish concept of comfort.
Danish.
Okay. I guess I'm bad at identifying Scandinavian countries.
It's just about being comfy, enjoying the small things in life, taking stock and finding pleasure.
Yeah.
And enjoying yourself, being happy.
Well, speaking of being happy, the Hugh question this week, it is apropos as we move into the fall season.
Hmm.
How did you spend your summer breaks as a kid?
Oof, man, I miss those. They seemed like they lasted forever, and it was just limitless possibilities, staying up late, playing video games. I mean, let's be honest,
what we
it
do.
Was a lot of video games.
That's what we do now, though, just stay up late and play video games.
Well, yeah, but occasionally I have to really, you know, deal with some work.
We have jobs.
do have jobs.
Yeah.
But that was the life.
Just not a care in the world.
Not a care in the world.
Lots of like sleepovers, stuff like that with friends or?
Well, I didn't have a lot of friends, but there was a lot of video games.
You like being I totally understand the feeling of like just liking to be in your own little world and like you don't have to get up for anything. I'm just going to stay up and play games.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember really late nights exploring like the temples in Morrowind and being really scared.
No. Oh. Awesome.
What about you?
I was, when I was a kid, I really liked going to the pool. I would go to the pool pretty much every day. I just distinctly remember going there with my friends all the time, you know, being scared to go off the high jump and eventually doing it, being scared of doing like dives and eventually doing it poorly, eating Andy Capp's hot fries during Adult Swim, riding my bike around, I played outside a decent amount. I was never athletic,
it sounds like it.
But I liked being outside, going to parks and stuff.
Yeah, we loved the pool too. There was the Roche Park Town pool.
Yeah.
I would do the Chipwich during Adult Swim.
Good stuff.
Classic.
You miss it.
Ice cream treat. Of course I do.
I know you haven't been able to find the exact right thing. We've seen Chipwich adjacent things.
There's the Chipwiches that they sell them now. You could buy them now.
Oh, okay.
ShopRite, yeah, but.
Okay.
You can't settle for any ordinary cookie ice cream sandwich. It has to be Chipwich.
I haven't had one of those, I don't think, but I've had the Itzit, and those Itzits were good.
Itzits are fine, yeah.
I like oatmeal cookies. I like them a lot.
Well, yeah, I like them too, but when it comes to ice cream sandwich, I mean, you need the chocolate chip, man.
I'd be happy to try one. I bet they taste very good. Well, we hope you all had a great summer. I don't know, I'm not going to say summer break because I assume it's adults that don't get the benefit of a summer break. But we hope you had a great summer. It's been a weird one, obviously, hopefully you've been able to enjoy it the best you can. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow us at Pan the Stream on Twitter. You can leave us the old 5 stars on Apple Podcasts if you'd be so kind. Thank you so much. And boy, these dogs are real good. They're going to get a major treat here. Thanks to Tom Monda for the theme song. We will be back with 4 weeks throughout October of painting the... Scream! That's right, Bonk. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
It was fun watching this movie with you and talking about it. All right, we'll see you all next week.
Bye.